So what do you remember about arriving? I mean, so I was working at the, for, you know, KPLU at the time. You were working for Brand X.
Yes. No.
Yeah. You were working for KOW, our friendly rivals across town.
Yeah.
And we teamed up right away.
Yeah. What I remember about it is that it happened on a Saturday, but we showed up for the presser on a Sunday. A U.S. senator was speaking. The governor was speaking. The county sheriff was speaking. And that's what I was called to go up there to do.
My most powerful memory from that very beginning there was we showed up in Arlington, which is where the presser was. This is, you know, quite a ways from Oso, but it's the kind of the nearest hub community. And I rolled into kind of the center of town, not knowing exactly where the press conference was going to be. And I saw someone just walking by, and I unrolled my window and I asked, you know, where's the sort of the main drag or whatever? And she seemed really kind of dazed and, you know, pointed me in the right direction and everything, and just seemed so out of her body almost. And it occurred to me only then, I think, that, man, you know, these are small towns. Everybody knows everybody. And so almost everybody I see, I remember looking around and just seeing all these people, you know, just outside on Sunday morning, they probably all know people who are missing. And so that was a really sobering moment.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing where getting the press conference part was the easy part. And then you have to kind of steel yourself as being this interloper media dork with headphones who not only is alive after this terrible event, but wasn't even there for it. You know, coming in a full day later and being like, excuse me, you know, can you tell me what happened? And what I was struck by was how generous people were
so,
with us.
Absolutely. They're so gracious. Yeah. It's true. People were really patient, particularly at the beginning there, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I remember, so when the press conference started, I stuck around to cover that while you kind of made the rounds and looked for, you know, witnesses or people to interview who could explain what happened. What was that like?
I remember, so part of what I was carrying with me was this fancy piece of equipment called a Comrex, where if you can connect in any way to the internet, you can feed stuff back to your home radio station. And then I saw one of those things that you see in the movies a lot that really does happen, where like a crowd of reporters forms around someone who's telling their story. And so it was like TV cameras, microphones all pointed at this one person. And I got in there because I had seen you and I had seen Martin Costi, our colleague at NPR. And, you know, we had like touched base briefly and then divided. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to try to get this. And so I looked down at my Comrex thing. I pointed my mic and I recorded this entire interaction of this one witness's statement that she was giving to press. And I called back to my home radio station when she was done. And I said, did you get that? And my colleague said, did I get what?
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, my God. I have to ask her to tell it again. This is the worst thing ever. It's the worst feeling when someone has just poured out their heart and done something that was really hard for them in front of a full-on gang of reporters. But I had to at least try. So I tried, and thankfully she was really awesome about doing it again for me. And I think it really helped that she had a family member there with her, like kind of supporting her and saying that it was okay. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful that she was physically okay and seemed to be at least emotionally able to share what she had seen, because what she had seen was really bad.
Yeah. So the one of the things about that morning was that there was still a tension or a frustration or even a little bit of anger that more people hadn't been rescued right away.
Yeah. I think that it gave people nightmares for years to have experienced that. One of the people I got to meet a few days after it all happened was a big lumberjack-looking type dude named Bob DeYoung. And he was at one of the community meetings. And he was so funny about it because he saw me and the New York Times guy looking at him. And he immediately sized us up and was like, it's the Paul Bunyan thing, isn't it? Because he was like 6'5". And he was probably 300 pounds. And he was, you know, in jeans that were muddy almost all the way up, boots caked with mud, you know, the plaid shirt, the thick suspenders, the whole thing, big, you know, goatee mustache, everything. But he was basically like, I get it. Okay, sure, we can do this. And he was the sweetest, most amazing guy and had been out all day, all night for days trying to rescue and recover his neighbors. And he was like, they can tell us that we can't do this or we can't do that as much as they want. I'm going back out there. And he ended up only being able to do recovery work. But his wife was right there supporting him, cooking meals for hundreds of people every night, working in the kitchen in that community hall there. And what'll always bother me about that is that I think that it took a toll on his health, and he only lived a couple more years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to do an interview again with him 6 months after that, and I heard how hard things had been for them and just how hard it was for them emotionally, and I think especially for him, because he had been in law enforcement for a long time and he's this big, tough lumberjack dude, and you know, he felt all this responsibility to like not crack. I learned a couple of years after that he had passed away. It just makes me think about the collective trauma that a town experiences when something major like this hits, and that my goal would be to never add to that.
They're bearing witness. They're the storytellers, and we're, you know, we should be middlemen in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. And if what we do helps, that's great. And I'm really grateful for that if it does.
Just one other thing I'll say is that it was nice that, you know, we worked for competing news organizations, but you and me and Martin and the Associated Press, Donna Blankenship, we all worked together, and I saw a lot of that. So anyway, it brought communities together, and it was nice in the way that it brought us together too.
I remember being so grateful when I saw you there, and Martin too. Of just like, wow, okay, at least I know one person, you know, and at least one or two people here know that I'm not a jerk, even if I do anything today that makes me feel like one. You know, there are people here who get it, and then it turned out that I really didn't have to be afraid of that at all.
Thank you for your work, Phyllis.
Oh, thanks, Gabe.
Thanks for not being a jerk.
I know. One of the funnest things I got to do was in the community center, there was a girl who was really, really curious about what I was doing. I was like, want to take over? And I gave her my recording kit. I gave her my mic and my recorder and everything. And she went around interviewing people, man. She did a pretty good job.
Did she use any of her tape?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure did. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.